In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not
jealous God, punishing the children for following in the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. But he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him, and gladly do what he commands.
This is the law of the Lord.
Christ died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him.
This shall be so. For I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth.
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support with his body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does solely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil.
Christ in
With these words, you tenderly invite us to believe that you are our true Father and that we are your true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask you as dear children ask their dear Father.
Hallowed be thy name.
Your name is holy in itself, but we pray that it may be kept holy among us also. Let your word be taught in its truth and purity, and let us as your children lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to your word profanes your name among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
Thy kingdom come.
Your kingdom comes by its own power without our prayer, but let it come to us also. Give us your Holy Spirit, so that by your grace we believe your holy word and lead godly lives here in time and hereafter in eternity.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You do your good and gracious will, even without our prayer. But Father, do your will among us also. Break and hinder every plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow your name or let your kingdom come. Strengthen and keep us firm in your word and faith until we die, because this is your good and gracious will.
Give us this day our daily bread.
You certainly give daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. Lead us to realize this and to receive with thanksgiving our daily bread, including everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, possessions, believing husbands and wives, believing children, believing workers, believing and faithful superiors, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like these.
And then forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Father in heaven, we pray that you would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that you would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment, and help us to sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
You tempt no one, but we pray that you would guard and protect us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature will not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray, grant that we may finally overcome them and win the victory.
Deliver us from evil.
Father in heaven, rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed death and take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven.
Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
We are certain that what we have asked pleases you, Father, and that you have heard us, because you yourself have commanded us to pray in this way and have promised to hear us.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so.
But it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. promises of God declare.
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without the water, without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit.
St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out.
Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. I will read the scripture passages here before the sermon. First, from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. These are our texts. When we come to Consecration Sunday, we are thinking about the life of our congregation and how we serve one another. I'm often struck by the fact that the Bible doesn't give us a detailed description of what life was like in a first century church. We can piece together some things a little bit here and there from the book of Acts or from St. Paul's letters, maybe from other writings, but it's certainly not a full picture of how the church was organized. For example, I start to wonder these things. Did the first congregations have a budget process? Who handled the offerings, collecting and counting them? Who paid for stuff? How were benevolence requests dealt with? Where did they get the bread and wine for communion? Who set it up? Who cleaned it up? Did they have greeters and hosts and wardens at the door? Who lit the candles during their services? Who made the coffee for their fellowship time? Did mothers have a place to take loud and wiggly kids? Did anyone record the services by writing down what was said? They must have had some way of doing a lot of these things, but we simply don't know what it was. We don't have any early church job descriptions or consecration forms or servitor lists. Sometimes it feels like that makes it hard to connect the dots from their time to ours. One thing we do have is what we heard in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. St. Paul urging the Gentile churches to give an offering for the poor in the church back in Jerusalem. St. Paul urges this financial support because it was especially needed in Jerusalem during this time of famine. And it also seems that this collection was St. Paul's idea. Remember the poor, he'd written to the Christians in Galatia. It echoed the words of Jesus, who told the rich young ruler to give to the poor. So one part of the church here in St. Paul's letter is called upon to help and support another part of the church. St. Paul puts this front and center in the verses I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He doesn't hesitate to remind the Christians in Corinth of what others are doing. He doesn't mind appealing to them, to the way that God has poured out his riches upon them. He invites the Christians there, and he invites us here, to show genuine love by caring for the wider body. To think not only about ourselves and our needs, but about how what God has given us can be used to serve one another. Paul describes this with various words. He calls it grace, service, participation in a common life, abundance, blessing, and love. It's a matter of consistency that those who are Christians would live in their life together as Christians. As another pastor put it, one cannot be full of Christian love and devotion. One cannot be full of prayer and kindness and yet be a miser. The idea that individual Christians would do their own thing, the idea that individual Christians would have their own independent spiritual life, is foreign to St. Paul's way of thinking. So is the idea of Christian congregations being disconnected from one another. The body of Christ needs each other. This is one of the reasons why, if you're not here, I or an elder or another member of the congregation may call and reach out to you. Because we know that when you are absent, we are lacking, we are missing something that we need. We see this need right here among us. Think about all the things that go into a Sunday morning at our Savior. All the big things, all the little things, all done so that Jesus will be present here with us in his holy word and in holy communion. There are many things that need to be done, and yet St. Paul, interestingly enough, he doesn't turn the need of the neighbor into a command. He doesn't say, therefore you must do this or you must give, because he doesn't want to rob anyone of the joy of giving freely and volunteering. He simply makes clear that genuine love doesn't grudge to help others in need. Genuine love doesn't hesitate to serve the wider body when invited to do so. This is the way of the Christian, because this is the way of Christ himself. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. I want to read those words again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Like the people of Corinth, you know this as well. This verse 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, is one worth committing to memory. It's one of the basic teachings of the Christian faith. St. Paul lays out what is called the great exchange in words that are so beautiful and so simple. Rich Jesus became poor so that poor us might become rich. Just how rich was Jesus? As the Son of God, he was the Lord of heaven, the creator of all things. He possessed the fullness of divine glory. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. And yet, when he became man, he wasn't conceived of a princess. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't surrounded with luxury. He volunteered instead for poverty and need, for hunger and homelessness, even for nakedness and abuse. You see the height of his earthly poverty right there on the cross. What does Jesus have that he can call his own, but even his life is taken away from him? And why did he do it? He didn't do it to get something from you. Jesus doesn't have a manipulative bone in his body. He didn't do it because he wanted to impress you. He did it because he wanted to give something to you. It was purely out of kindness, purely out of his own eternal love. His love for us who are stingy and sinful and self-serving. And now, because of what he did, you who were poor, even we poor, pitiful sinners, we who have been dead in trespasses and sins, you are rich. You may not be rich in an earthly way. You may struggle with inflation just like the person next to you, but you are rich in a heavenly way. To you belong all the riches in the heavenly places. Think about what Scripture says. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. He has given you the crown of life. He has raised you up with Jesus and seated you with him, enthroned in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward you in Christ Jesus. With his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death, he has redeemed, purchased, and won you and me to be his own. Jesus made the sacrifice for you. He continues to be generous with you beyond measure. So would you then make some sacrifice for your brothers and sisters in Christ? And I don't mean for those who are far away, but for those who are right here. Having received the benefits of that great exchange with your Lord, will you make the little exchange for the sake of your neighbor? What do I mean? Will you give your time to pray when a request is made? Will you hand out bulletins, set up the altar, start the audio recording, or watch the little ones so that others can hear God's word and receive his gifts with us? Will you sacrificially support the work of our congregation with your offerings, the needs of your brothers and sisters through benevolence, and the work of the wider church through missions? I know we can't all give or serve in the same way, but each of us has some measure of time, some treasure, some talent to share. Now, some of you I know are already doing a lot, and some of you are not doing a lot but wish that you could do more. I understand, and thank you. Serving in the church often happens without notice or applause or a pat on the back. Sometimes it can be, menial work that doesn't seem to get a lot of reward. But your Father in heaven, he is the one who sees, and he knows what you do, even if no one else does. He knows the time, the energy, the thought that you put into serving. So know this, what you do matters. What you do is good and beneficial and serves your neighbors. And remember, too, that Christ never stopped once to compare his part to our part. He didn't say, you know, I'm taking up the cross and doing this. What are you doing? No, he simply did it. He didn't say, I'll pull my weight if you pull yours. He said, I'll pull all the weight. Come along with me. And he didn't do it for the praise. He did it for the love. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. The devil, of course, wants us to believe something different. He wants us to believe that the love of our Lord is shallow, and he wants us to believe that God isn't generous. The devil wants us to believe that God is holding out and that we should hold out too. He would convince us that God is stingy, that God is greedy, and that God keeps the best for himself. And if God isn't like that, he'd at least want us to believe that our neighbors in the church are like that. This is what he told Adam and Eve. Oh, you know God is just holding out. When you eat that fruit, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. But it's a lie. It's one big, fat lie. And the devil would lie to us as well. He would lie to us, telling us that we've got to cling tightly to what we have, that we need to watch out for our own interests because no one else will. The devil wants us to make us feel like we can't spare what we have to help others. The devil loves nothing more than when we coil inward for self-preservation and when we look at the world through the lens of scarcity, as if there will never be enough to go around, as if we have to grab for what we can and hold on to it. The truth, however, rests in what Jeremiah says in Lamentations. Right at the heart of this sad book about the destruction of Jerusalem stands this beautiful reminder. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord himself is your portion, dear Christian. And what a portion he is. What more do you need? He is faithful. He is steady. He is true. Unceasing love. Never-ending mercy. Great faithfulness. Forgiveness as far as the east is from the west, every morning, every single morning, including this one. And so we wait for him. We seek him. And he gives us that salvation won for us by Christ. He gives those gifts to us now, and he gives the promise of more to come. So the Bible doesn't give us a detailed description of life in the early church. It doesn't tell us how to do a consecration Sunday. It doesn't tell us how to divide up roles and responsibilities in our life together. But it does give us the riches of Christ. And it does invite us to a rich and generous life. We can hear in what St. Paul says as well three simple principles at work. He talks first about the importance of being ready. Be eager. Look for opportunities as they present themselves to serve and to love and to help. Second, he says that we are to exercise ourselves according to what a person has. Each has a different gift. Each has different means. Each has different abilities. So we don't need to compare. We don't need to measure out. We simply use what he's given us. And then third, last, he gives a principle of reciprocity. We supply the needs of others. We do what we can, knowing that in turn they will supply our needs as well. This is the way it works in a family. This is the way it works here in the household of God. We love, we serve, we bear one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ, because he first loves, serves, and bears our burdens. And as we do so, haltingly, failingly, never perfectly here, as we do so, we pray, O Lord, be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We continue with the confession and office of the keys from the Small Catechism. Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins.
And second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness from the pastor, as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven.
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20.
The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
From these words, I believe that when the call ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. You have seen me, O God, and my ways were not hidden from you.
All I have done was plain in your sight.
When I rested in sin and not in your word, when I left it to others to work for the spread of your word, when I judged the way others served you, when I worked for you as though it were a burden.
Forgive me.
When I held back time, using it not as your gift, but selfishly. When I held back money, spending it not as your gift, but as my possession. When I held back your gospel to myself and neglected the lost ones you love.
Forgive me.
When I did not learn your word. When I held back my trust from your word and believed this world instead.
Forgive me.
For Jesus' sake, because he has done what I should have done, and has paid what I should have paid. And because he is praying for me now, open my mind to your word and fill me with your spirit and your love. And so that I can offer myself to you without shame, serve you gladly, and be consecrated to your holy word with everything I am and have.
I ask for grace. I will not do better.
And will you also forgive your sinful pastor all my sins against you? Then answer, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive you.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Dear brother, as the call pastor of this congregation, you have charge of Christ's flock in this place. You must bear in mind the solemn duty of the sacred office entrusted to you by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you fulfill them as a devout and zealous servant of the Church. As Christ's ambassador, you are to teach and preach the pure doctrine of God's Word. You are to administer the sacraments as Christ instituted them, Instruct young and old in the way of salvation. Counsel inquirers. Strengthen the weak. Seek the lost. Reclaim those who fall into error. Comfort the sorrowing. Care for the poor. Visit the sick. Serve the dying. And pray constantly for the spiritual welfare of every soul under your care. You are to devote yourself to the study of Holy Scripture and the confession, so that you carry out your office according to God's word, and so that you and your family may be patterns of others, for others, of faith and godliness. The Apostle Paul says, preach the word, always be ready, correct and rebuke and encourage with deep patience and careful instruction. Keep calm in all situations. Endure sufferings. Do the work of an evangelist. And set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, and in purity. Watch your life and teaching closely. Persevere in them, because as you do, you will save yourself and those who hear you. I ask you, dear brother, in the presence of God and before this congregation, will you continue to bear the charge of this congregation and perform faithfully all the duties of your office? Then answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Will you continue to preach and teach God's pure word in accordance with the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and adore our Savior's teaching with a reverent and holy life? Then answer, I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of His Holy Spirit.
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of His Holy Spirit.
Dearly beloved, you have heard again the solemn promise given by your called pastor. I admonish and charge you to remember always what God's word demands of you as members of His flock. Faithfully attend His preaching of the word and accept it, not as human words, but as the word of God, which it actually is. Pay attention as when He warns you, and humbly accept the implanted word that can save your soul. Help Him to teach the young, since you are commanded to bring up your children in the Lord. Provide for His and for His family's earthly needs. Honor Him and love Him. As St. Paul says, respect those who work among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love. Pray for him constantly, that God would give him a cheerful spirit in his labors and anxieties, and that the Lord may bless richly his service among you. And finally, remember the words of the Holy Ghost. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. I ask you now in the presence of God's will, will you continue to receive your pastor as a servant of God and give him the love, honor, and proper obedience that are due to a shepherd and guide placed over you by the Lord Jesus Christ? Then answer, I will.
I will.
Eternal Father of mercy, we praise you for building on this earth your holy church, through which you call sinners to yourself until the end of time. Having sent this worker into the harvest field, have mercy on him and give him the gifts he needs to fulfill this sacred office faithfully and fruitfully. Do not allow him to cause others to stumble by his own shortcomings. Protect him from gossip and slander and from anything else that would hurt his service. Support him with your Holy Spirit, and when his work is finally done, let him enter your joy. And we pray, too, for this flock and each believer in it. Never leave us. Keep your altar among us and keep alive on it your holy fire.
keep your holy word, holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion here in purity and truth, so that by your power we may be made holy for you, and our spirits, souls, and bodies be kept blameless for the coming of Jesus Christ, your Son. As he loved us and called us to be his disciples, so help us to love one another, that through us the world would know him and you. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. People loved by God, our weakness is great, but our Lord and Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth. Since he has called you, saying, "Come, follow me, forget what is past, and press forward to what lies ahead," lift up your hearts and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you believe that God declares you righteous solely and alone because of the obedience and suffering of Jesus Christ in your place without any merit in you? Then answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that all the books of the Holy Scriptures are the inspired, true and inspired Word of God, and that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from Holy Scripture is the true and unchanged teaching of God's Word? Then answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Will you continue to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Will you submit every part of your life to be ruled by that Word? Will you remain faithful to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and suffer all things, even death, rather than part from him? Then answer, I will, by the grace of God.
I will, by the grace of God.
God strengthen you with his grace, so that others may see your good works, your love for one another, and your mercy for all, and glorify him, and that through you other beloved sinners may kneel with us to receive grace and life in Jesus Christ, until you go to him, or he comes again for you. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Now, O Father, hear us as we pray for all who in love for each other serve here, for those who serve in music and the arts, for all who tend your altar, for those who maintain, clean, and care for your house, for those who teach your little children, for those who serve as liturgists, acolytes, hosts, and tellers, for those who serve in the sound room, in the kitchen, in fellowship, and in the office, for all who serve you and those who are sick, aged, or alone, for all who give, pray, and work in your service, give them strength and grace from heaven. Give them joy through your holy gospel. Consecrate and make holy in Jesus Christ all their work in love and trust toward you. Let your beauty, O Lord our God, be seen on them and on all of us who today offer ourselves, our possessions, and our lives to you. For we are your people, justified by grace alone for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we also offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern your holy church by your Holy Spirit, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. We ask for your particular blessing on Michael and Kevin, their families, and the congregations they will serve, that they might joyfully take up their calling in the office of the holy ministry. Bless also our own preparations for vacation Bible school, that our children and their friends may love what is just and true and good, and most of all, love and follow Jesus throughout their lives. Keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the nations of the world. Grant that we may choose trustworthy leaders, contribute to wise decisions, for the general welfare, and serve you faithfully in our generation. We commend to your care those who are unemployed or underemployed, and all who struggle to make ends meet. Protect them from anxiety. Lead them to suitable and fulfilling employment, that they might serve their neighbors through their labor, and so receive their daily bread from you. Watch over all who travel, especially Mika and Alina, as they travel to Turkey this week. Give to Carly, Marta, Liz, Casey, Stephanie, and Annie good health and the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual strength for pregnancy and motherhood. Be the support of Jillian and Penny in the time of recovery and healing. Bless and defend the work of all pregnancy resource centers for the good of abortion-vulnerable women and their children. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation. Make known your ways among us. Be with John, Stephanie, and their family. Grant him relief from pain, restore his health, and most of all, draw him to you. Give Stephanie the strength and peace needed for these days. Grant your care to Nancy and Paul, that they might depend on you in their times of poor health. To all who suffer, grant patience, and according to your will, release them from their afflictions. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." This is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, instituted by Christ under the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to drink.
These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins.
Our psalm today is Psalm 30, starting at the first verse. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought me up to my soul from Sheol. You have restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. But you, O Lord, I cry. To the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me on my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with greatness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord. Be my helper.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Refreshed us with this healing gift, and we ask you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through this sacrament in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, go forth in love. Make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ until you go to him or he comes for you. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen.